Poslušate SBS Slovenije. Prisluhnite še drugim zanimivim zgodbam na sbs.com.au/Slovenije.
Nadaljujemo z današnjo slovensko oddajo na radiju SBS širom Avstralije po svetu. Naslednja gostja je mlajša članica avstralskih Slovencev, pisateljica, nagrajenka mnogih romanov in tudi preteklo soboto imela njeno radijsko igro z naslovom The Walker predstavljena na radiju ABC. Danes nam bo spregovorila več o tej igri in tudi o njenih knjigah. Welcome Chrissy Gneen on the Slovenian program on SBS Radio around Australia.
Hi Tanya.
We've not spoken to you before that I'm aware of on our program. So tell us a bit more about yourself. You're, as we mentioned in the introduction, you're a writer and you've had many books published and you've also had them awarded. When did you start writing?
I've pretty much been writing all of my life since I was even very young. But I didn't start getting books published until I was 40, so I'm 50 now. So it's only been in the last 10 years that my books have been published. And it was a bit of a long road to try and get my first book published, but I have been writing forever, and it does feel like I'm now on a roll. So every year or two, another book comes out, which is really fantastic. And I'm working in film a bit as well, and television at the moment. So, yeah, it's really fun to actually be doing what I love.
So then how did you start to have these books published? Let's say from that perspective, you said that you didn't get the first one done till you were 40.
Yeah, I'd written so many and I kept, there wasn't really the same kind of system of getting books to publishers back then. And so I would send them into the slush pile, into the, out of the blue to publishers, and they'd sit there for years, and sometimes I'd get a rejection letter and sometimes I wouldn't. So there wasn't the same kind of path that we have now. And it was only because I'd sent my manuscripts into the Literary Awards for Unpublished Manuscripts, and I'd been shortlisted for the Queensland Literary Awards Unpublished Manuscript 3 times, that Text Publishing saw me and went, oh, this person keeps getting shortlisted, and so asked to see my manuscript, and that's where it all started.
So how many have you had published in the last 10 years?
I'm about to publish the 8th book in September, and that's the one about my family story, so yeah.
And how's this process, I guess, for you in terms of writing, when you're particularly writing a book, I guess, or a novel?
It's a bit of a long process sometimes. Sometimes I sort of start an idea for a novel and it sort of ticks away in a little document on my computer, and every so often I go back to it until I get traction on the idea, and then I really put a lot of effort into it, and it really takes about a year for me to kind of get that first draft together, and then sometimes a year or two after that to get the book sort of into the right shape. So often something's been sitting around for a while and it just takes that little spark for me to get it to a final shape.
And just so we're clear, you're writing in terms of story, so it's fiction?
It's a mix. I've had, my first book was a memoir, and my other books since then have been fiction, except for one of them, which is a poetry collection. And the one that's coming out in September, again, is a memoir, but it's a memoir about family history rather than specifically about me.
So where do you get the ideas, I guess, that spark the main idea, I guess, for the story?
It's got to be something that really hooks me, and it can come from anywhere. A lot of the time, my family were artists, and so I spent a lot of time in galleries. So a lot of the time it will come from a visual art stimulus. So quite a few of my books has been an image that has hit me from visual arts, and that's really kind of made me think about stories related to that particular picture, and that picture's taken on shape as the story kind of takes on shape in my head.
And as we mentioned in the introduction also, that you're one of your latest works called The Walker was produced as a play for radio on ABC, and it was on last Saturday. Tell us a bit more about that and the story.
That came at a really good time, because I've really been focused about family history. I went to Slovenia for the first time a couple of years ago, and all the ideas and the understandings of my background have been percolating in my head for the last few years. And so when they asked me to write something for something Gothic, it's for a series called Oz Gothic, and so an Australian Gothic story, I think really my my own personal story of coming from being living in the country for a few years with my grandmother and my mother. That kind of that setting is very Gothic. There's a lot of things that are hidden there, and it's quite a the divide between my grandmother as a migrant and the local community was really stark. So that kind of setting felt like a good place to set a Gothic story. And also because I just found out some of my family background, that really trickled into the story as well. So it's fictional, but it also has a lot of the elements that I was discovering when I went to Slovenia in there.
And we came in contact with you through a well-known Slovenian in Melbourne, Draga Gelt, who was also in the radio play.
Yeah, she plays the grandmother in the play, and she does an amazing job, a fantastic job of it, actually. So that was really excellent to have her in that part.
And our listeners shortly will be able to hear a little piece of that where Draga Gelt plays in there. How can our listeners also then, if they want to listen to the full radio play, how can they access that?
It's actually up on the ABC website. So if you go to ABCRN and then just look for Oz Gothic, then you'll find that story. Or you can even Google ABCRN and then The Walker, and that should come up as well. So it's there for people to download or to listen on your podcast or your Listen app. And it's really fantastic that the ABC puts their shows up there that you can listen to later.
Nana?
My songbirds, what do you bring for me?
Tea and toast, Nonna.
Tea and toast? I've been dreaming this. You are my dream girls. I dreamed you before I even came here to Australia.
Where did you dream us, Nonna?
You tricksters, Jožica. Always to trip me. You're trying to get at my memories again. But they are locked up safe from prying girls. Here, come sit beside me. You only need to know one thing. Before you, it was not a good place. Here is life at the start, like the machine, the life starter.
Heart starter.
Defibrillator dummy.
Whatever.
Here is a fibrillator, and we're now looking forward only. You must promise me never look behind. Promise?
We promise.
You are my good little songbirds.
So hopefully a few of our listeners obviously will click in and listen to that as well. And you mentioned before a little bit more about your family history and the first time going to Slovenia. How was that?
It was incredibly nerve-wracking because I wasn't sure what I was going to find. A lot of my family history was kept hidden from me all of my growing up, and I wasn't really sure why. I didn't know why there was this big secrecy behind you know, my grandmother's birthplace, and I was even sort of forbidden to go back to Slovenia, and I really didn't know what I was going to find. But when I went there, I actually went to my grandmother's village, and there was family still there. There were people that were related to me still in the village, and although we didn't have a common language, I grabbed a friend from Ljubljana who spoke Slovenian, and he came with me and translated, and it was quite a moving reunion with them. But I also realised that because my grandmother had left that area of Slovenia to go to Egypt as one of the Alexandrinka, which is something that I just found out about a couple of years ago, that there was this whole movement of women, and that 40% of the women in the Primorska region at that time went over to Egypt to work, to send money home. And she and her mother were in those waves of women. So she left Slovenia when she was younger, and then met a man in Egypt and married, and my mother was born in Egypt. So I ended up having to go to Egypt and found Slovenes in Egypt that were descendant from the Alexandrinka, and actually was sitting in the living room of a woman who had also come from that region, that was living in Alexandria still, one of the last Alexandrinka living in Alexandria. And it turns out that we're related. So it was quite a moving experience to go all the way around the world and find relatives, you know, in the village and also in Alexandria.
From what you found out, then what brought her to Australia?
They left Egypt at the Suez Crisis, so a lot of the Slovene women that were working there had to leave during the Suez Crisis in the 50s. And some of them went back to Slovenia, but some of them didn't. And some of them had also met their partners over there as well, and so they went elsewhere. My grandfather had a British passport. His family had been living in Egypt for three generations, and there's much more of a story, I'm sure, to uncover in his background, but he had a British passport, and so my grandmother, my mother and my aunt went to England after that, the Suez Crisis. So they didn't fit in there. They felt that it wasn't their place, and there was certainly a lot of racism towards them over there in England. And so when there was a chance for them to be a 10-pound pom and come to Australia, they jumped at it and came to Australia, and that's where we were born.
I spoke to you earlier, and you mentioned that you're on your grandmother's side, that you're Slovenian. From that perspective, did you grow up with a lot of the Slovenian culture and the language as well?
She definitely spoke many languages when I was younger, her cooking was very different from the other Australians that I was kind of growing up with. But I've since discovered, since going back to Slovenia, that it was actually a mix of Slovene dishes, but also the Middle Eastern dishes from her time in Egypt. The culture that I grew up with was this kind of a rarefied culture that was Slovenian Alexandrian culture, and it's quite interesting that it's got touches of Slovenian culture, but it also has this other element which is in the food and the cooking, it's a really interesting little slice of culture. And when I went to Egypt, I also found that the Slovenes still living in Egypt, that they felt similar to me. It felt that they were familiar. And that mix of, the Egyptian culture and the Slovene culture together is a very specific mix indeed. Interesting.
Yeah, no, it sounds very interesting in terms of what you found out, I guess. And was that really important to you to find out a bit more of that, given that you said you didn't really have any information growing up about this side of your family?
It was really vital. My grandmother was so full of secrets, and I was so close with her. She was the matriarch, and definitely her influence on the family was the most important. Like, my grandfather was there when I was growing up as well. My father didn't stay on, he left. My grandmother was the mother in the family and the matriarch in the family. She cooked all the meals, she made all the rules, she policed all those rules, and so I kind of grew up with my grandmother being the most kind of powerful force in my life. And yet she was so closed off about any of her culture and wasn't close to, even though there were other members of her family here, Slovene family here in Australia, I only saw them occasionally, and there were tensions between her and them. So I didn't really have any access to any of cultural information at all. And I've never felt that I completely belong here in Australia, I think, because that influence is so strong from her that I've always felt that I'm different from the other people that I grew up with. And I really wanted to find my place. I've always felt that I'm kind of out of place here in Australia. And so going home to, going home to Slovenia, and I spent 3 months in Ljubljana, and I really felt calmer in Ljubljana than I've ever felt in my life. I felt like I was actually happy for the first time living there, which was really quite surprising to me that I would have such a overwhelming feeling of being home when I got there. And I don't know what it is. I really have no idea what small, subtle things stick with people when they migrate and what it is about a homeland that makes you feel at home, but it certainly made me feel at home when I was there.
You mentioned earlier that your next book is a bit more about your family and history. Is that where that's taken you?
Yeah, so I really went over there partly to research this book. So I wrote while I was over there. I sort of kept notes of what I was finding out. As I said, I didn't have any idea of this whole movement of women to Egypt. And so when I found that out, I really thought my grandmother must have been an outlier somehow, going to Egypt, out of the blue. But then when I went there, I found that there was this whole sort of hidden history of women that were going to make money for their communities and to save their communities, and that the women themselves were often treated as, it had been a patriarchal society, and then when the women were the breadwinners, there was a disruption to that. So there was certainly an anger about the women having to leave, and also an anger that they left their children behind when they went over to Egypt. So there were a lot of there were quite a lot of new mothers, nursing mothers, who left their children with relatives and went to Egypt as wet nurses. And so at that time, that was seen as, you know, abandoning your family, and it was definitely not seen as a good thing. Although it was a necessary thing, because otherwise the families would have starved. It's quite a sad period of history, but also one where women really stepped up and showed that they could support their entire communities, and that they were strong enough to survive that dislocation and to thrive. You know, a lot of them actually had a great education over there in Egypt, and were, it was the cultural capital of the world at the time, and so, you know, they were exposed to lots of cultures and lots of languages and lots of ideas, and so they grew as people and brought that home when they went home again as well.
So I'm guessing you found out all of this obviously after your grandmother passed, and in terms of all the information, so I guess, you know, you obviously won't ever 100% know exactly why she went there in the first place and all the reasons behind it.
I did find out some possible reasons, and so that's what the book will be about, is looking at the reasons that she went. And she was called over. Her mother was an Alexandrinka, and so her mother left her when she was very young and went to Egypt, and then called the children one at a time when she could, when her employers could pay to get the kids over there. And so my grandmother then went over to Egypt alone, on a ship by herself as a young child, and so that kind of that's part of her story as well, that kind of first being left by her mother and then having to leave her country all by herself was certainly what shaped her and made her into the kind of slightly strange person that she was. She was incredibly tough, she was incredibly smart, and very distrustful, and also kept a tight leash on everybody in the family, didn't want us to leave home. And I've sort of discovered that that was the reason, because she had so many disruptions to her young life and lost her homeland, that she also felt displaced. She felt that she had no place that was really home. And that really influenced the way she was and how she treated us and how she raised us as well. And so I feel like we've kind of inherited a lot of that searching and loss and feeling dislocated from her, which is really interesting that you can inherit a whole lot of feelings from a situation that you didn't personally experience.
And do you feel like you understand her a little bit better now, knowing the background and what you sort of have found out in the last few years?
Yeah, I do, actually. I do. I feel like if she'd been alive when I'd found out this information, I feel like I would have being closer to her. I mean, I was very close to her, but I feel like I would have been able to start to talk to her about it, because I never felt that, you know, she always shut down any conversations about Slovenia when we started talking about it. And so I feel like if she'd been alive and I'd been able to go home and show her the photos and say, I understand and I know where you came from, that a lot more healing would have been done before she died. And it is a shame that I was not brave enough to do that while she was still alive, mainly because she, you know, didn't want us to go there. And so I just obeyed.
Do you keep in contact now with the relatives that are still in Slovenia or in Egypt?
I do, actually. Probably the ones in Egypt a little bit more, because they're on social media and we have a common language. The ones in Slovenia don't speak English, and I don't speak any of the languages that they speak, even though they, you know, speak Italian and French and German as well. I have been in contact with them through the Egyptian relatives who went to the village. They actually went from Egypt there to visit. So I kind of sent some messages back, and I'm going to send copies of the book when it comes out to them as well. I'm kind of hoping that one day there'll be a translation. It would be great if it got published in Slovenia and translated. That would be really good.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Obviously, then the rest of the relatives can read a bit more about, I guess, what, you know, history you found out and what's, I guess, came of your grandmother after she left them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think it would be a really useful document for them. Yeah, it's great.
Well, thank you for talking to us today about a bit more about your work and all your writing, and particularly around your family story that will come out in that book later this year. And hopefully we'll be able to get a copy of that, obviously, in all good bookshops. We wish you all the best with that particular book and all the future endeavours that you'll be continuing to write. And thank you again for joining us on SBS Radio today.
Thank you for having me.
Všečkaj, deli, komentiraj. Spremljaj SBS Slovenijo na Facebooku.